Yeah, we're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. My name is Brandon Peoples, and I'm joined here today by Raleigh County Police Director Brad Schoen and Captain Aaron Friedlein here in studio as we continue our conversation here. Well, yesterday, I know the Raleigh County Commission approved purchase of some new radio towers for the radio system upgrade. How is this going to affect what you guys do there at the police department?
Well, that's another step in the right direction for the infrastructure project. It's a huge project that's being undertaken by Pat Collins and Emergency Management, but obviously it affects all of the emergency services, and happy to see that get approved and keep moving forward because this is a long-term project and a lot of working parts, but just another notch in the belt to keep that process going forward.
I think they've got, and I hadn't heard about it before I read the Mercury article, but I knew they had three sites, tower sites they were working on, and from the article it sounded like they had two of those resolved, and now there's just the one remaining. For our part down at the PD, we've known, as have the other emergency services, like Aaron said, that this has been coming for a while, and we approached the law board last year and worked out an agreement with the county because we can't have any carryover. We're cash basis budget. But we worked out an agreement and have a signed agreement with county, and the board agreed and the auditors all agreed that we could actually expend those funds from any given budget year by spending them to the county, sending them to the county for the purchase of radios. And then when the time comes to buy those radios, the money will be sitting there to do it, because it was going to be kind of a tough row to hoe for us. I think of all the users on the system, we had the highest cost for the purchase of radios, right at $750,000. And, of course, I mean, I don't blame the board. I wouldn't want to do it if I were them. Nobody wants to budget for a one-time hit of $750,000 on a budget and do it all in one cycle, because you really got to jump the property tax mill levy to do that. And then, of course, you just knock it right back down again the next year. And one of the things that I think government should aspire to, and our local elected officials do a pretty good job, as does the board, is kind of evening out those bumps, you know, so you don't see spikes and drops all the time. Consistency is something to be valued when it comes to people's property taxes. And so for us to be able to work an arrangement out with the county whereby we could, in essence, set that money aside and use it when the bill comes due is a good thing. And to that extent, one of the things I anticipate will be in front of the board at the December meeting, which will, as I said earlier, be my last, is the $200,000 expenditure this year for the eventual purchase of those radios. And after we've done that, we'll have 400,000 of the 750,000 sitting there. Now, the original completion time on the radio infrastructure project had it going online early in 2020. That would mean that in 2019, if we can do the same thing, then we'd have $600,000 sitting there. And then if we had to start making the purchases early in 2020, which was the anticipated timeline, then we could use 2020 money to supplant the $600,000 we had sitting there, and voila, there's our $750,000. As it turns out, I think the project's a little behind time. I personally kind of expected it, you know, when we started it, that would happen, and I believe that's the case. So that final expenditure, the actual expenditure of $750,000 will now probably occur a little later in 2020. But this is just an example of those things we kind of need to plan for and figure out a workaround in order to be able to pull it off. So we were happy to have the county's help in doing that.
Well, this isn't cheap at all. This is a very expensive venture.
Yeah, it's a not inexpensive proposition. We were talking on the way over here, Aaron and I were. There are two what they call cores. And in the main, these are like computer-controlled communication systems, and they have to be able to talk to each other. And my terminology is I call them the brains of the system. Each one of those costs $1 million. I mean, they are not inexpensive. And, of course, you got to have hookups for them, and they have to be climate-controlled areas, and they got to have power, and they got to have generators in case power goes out, because it doesn't do you any good to have emergency communications if lightning hits and the power goes out. Oh, sorry, I guess we won't have 911 during this storm. No, that's not a good idea. So, like Aaron said, there's a lot of moving parts here.
And what percentage of the budget would you say is emergency communications here?
Well, that's a really complicated question. Sounds easy on the surface, but whose budget?
Because
the county's responsible for paying for the infrastructure, and all of the local emergency services, that would be us, EMS, MFD, rural fire, and, well, those are all responsible to purchase their own radios in order to be able to use them on the system. So you'd have to ask all of us. I can tell you our end of it's going to be about $750,000 for the purchase of those radios.
Yeah, well, That's obviously something that you have to have because, as you mentioned, when there's an emergency and there's weather for one thing.
Oh, yeah. And somebody may be sitting out there saying, well, yeah, we've got a communication system now. Well, here's the long and short of that. As of now, when certain components of that communication system break, the only way to find spare parts for it is to scrounge them off eBay. And what we're seeing is that the ones we can find off eBay are other people who have torn down their systems because they're so antiquated and they're trying to sell off the old parts. That's no way to run a railroad, and it's an even less impressive way to run an emergency communication system. So kudos to the County Commission for recognizing that. I mean, I was hired in 83, and I know for a fact that some of those components were used when they were put in 83. So we've been getting by on the cheap for a long time, and it's time to pay the piper. You know, there's a lot of reasons for that. One is the system is antiquated, and the other is the FCC narrowing the bandwidth, and we've talked about that out here in the past, and they're going to narrow it again. And every time they do, we have less and less coverage in the county, and so now we have areas where we formerly had radio communications that we don't. None of this serves the public well, and while it's a big and, I suspect, for many a bitter pill to swallow in terms of the cost, it's one of those necessary functions that government's just got to do.
So will this, when this is all said and done and finished, will this improve some of the communication in maybe the more rural parts of the county?
Oh, absolutely. And Pat, you know, does Pat come out here?
I think so.
Next time he's out here, you quiz him on this because he should know this. I mean, I've seen the maps and I've heard the percentages, but I can tell you the percentage of the county that's covered will be far in excess of what it is now. I want to say it's going to be like 90. Ask Pat this. Don't quote me on it. But I think it's going to be something like 95% coverage, 97% coverage. And it was never that good on the old system, and as soon as they narrowed the bandwidth, it got even worse. So it'll be a decent upgrade.
Okay. You know, this time of year, obviously, we're dealing with we had the blizzard this past weekend, and that was kind of early here. We're going to maybe have a long winter here. I want to talk to you a little bit about reducing traffic accidents here during the winter months. Obviously, there's so many things you can do to stop that, but one I'm sure is eliminating distracted driving.
Well, it is. The other is, you know, when you see those big warning things that pop up on your phone weather app that say there's a blizzard coming, road conditions are going to suck, believe them, because they usually suck when they say they're going to. I was driving to Wichita, I think on Monday evening, and there were any one of a number of vehicles stuck in the ditch, and one of them was a pickup truck that was covered over the hood, and there was a semi laying on its, or it was a box truck, actually, laying on its side in the median, and I'm thinking to myself, did you guys not get the warning?
Yeah.
Don't go there then. Just wait a day. But, you know, some people think they need to get around, so that's the way it goes. And while that's true on the interstate, it's also true here locally. You know, when it's that nasty out, and there's a number, the fewer people moving around there are, the less chance there is of bumping into something. So that's just kind of a general rule of thumb. And, you know, we had the great misfortune on Thanksgiving morning of having an accident in north of Manhattan on 24, where a woman from Riley ended up dead and an 18-year-old Kent State University student was severely injured. And while that one wasn't weather-related, those sorts of accidents are life-ending or life-changing things. You know, who knows if she'll ever be the same again. I certainly don't. I mean, it's probably way too early in the process for her to even know that. But when you weigh going to grandma's for dinner or whatever, the going to Target for whatever it is, against the possible ill effects, I think it gets a little easier to make that call.
Yeah. Well, and I've talked to a few different people here since the blizzard. I don't know how much of a disruption that was for you guys here on the job Sunday into Monday. Did you have any major disruptions there?
We had one accident, if I recall right. I don't know if Aaron heard about it, but there was a rollover out on K18. Turned out that the ending there was better than it could have been. No one was killed there. And I think there were relatively minor injuries. Am I getting that right?
You are. Yeah. And, you know, our staff was able to work. I mean, you know, it is a 24/7 operation, but, you know, we always have to kind of adjust our schedules, too, to make sure we can take care of our officers and dispatchers and anybody else that's working and make sure they're all taken care of and we can get relief in for them. And we do a good job of watching out for each other. So I was very proud of how dispatch handled that situation and kept up with the callers and gave out the information to try and keep everybody safe.
Very good. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back with more In Focus after this on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by the McCain